Stand, please. Oyez, oyez, oyez. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and its Honorable Court. Be seated, please. Case number 09-1961. Edwin Kessler and L. petitioners for the Service Transportation Board. Mr. Rittman for the petitioner, Mr. Wright for the respondent.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm James Riffin. I'm one of your petitioners. In this case, the Surface Transportation Board, on its own motion, reopened an abandonment proceeding, granted it abandonment authority, and then, also on its own motion, exempted the proceeding from the board's offer of financial assistance proceedings. The petitioners object to the exemption from the offer of financial assistance proceedings. If the court vacates that portion of the board's decision, the petitioners will withdraw and waive their objections to the board's reopening the reabandonment decision and granting abandonment authority without giving proper notice. The abandonment ends on the east side of a street called McKinley Avenue. The petitioners and a company called Boardman's owns property on the west side of McKinley Avenue. Both are rail served. Boardman has a spur which goes into the Boardman property, continues across the street, and terminates on the east side of McKinley. The petitioners wish to build a transload facility on their property. Presently, the nearest...
On whose property?
On our property.
Okay.
The nearest transload facility is in Dallas, Texas. That's a two-hour truck ride. United Parcel Service has indicated they would love to have a transload facility in Oklahoma City.
Is that in the record?
I believe that is in the record, Your Honor.
Was that in the record before the agency?
I believe it was.
Can you point us to where?
I couldn't just offhand point you to it, but...
You think it's in the joint appendix?
It would have been in the pleadings that were before the board. The board is very much aware that we would like to build a transload facility. I think they might have even commented on it.
Was it mentioned in the briefs? I just don't remember this point.
I don't recall if I mentioned the transload facility in the briefs.
Right.
I'm sure I didn't mention Dallas in the briefs.
Right. Is that UPS or USPS?
UPS, United Parcel Service.
And are you saying that they said they would use what you would build, or that they would like to have such a facility in the area?
They would like to have a facility in the areas as far as we've gotten. To be fair to the board, I don't believe that was before the board.
Well, if it wasn't before the board, it can't be before us, can it?
Then it's not before you, and I would agree with that.
So we shouldn't start the argument with this discussion.
I would agree, Your Honor. Okay. Boardman manufactures large steel vessels, which are used in refineries. In the joint appendix at page A86 is a photo of one of the vessels that they built. It cost $150,000 to truck that vessel to Valero, Texas. Had they shipped that vessel on a rail car, they could have done it for $50,000. The Oklahoma Department of Transportation, ODOT, has a need to relocate the I-40 freeway. They have a desire to relocate it on a portion of the right-of-way that is the subject of this proceeding. The board held that the middle segment was not needed for continued rail service because there are no shippers located immediately adjacent to that portion of the right-of-way. As I said earlier, the right-of-way ends on the east side of McKinley. Had they extended the abandonment 200 more feet or 50 more feet, they couldn't have made that statement. The board in its decision primarily relied upon a statement made by BNSF that it would provide service to Boardman and petitioner's property by accessing this line of railroad from the west. The portion of the right-of-way that's in front of Boardman and petitioner's property is referred to as the western segment. And prior to this proceeding coming into existence, this was a through line of railroad, which means it connected on both ends to the national rail system. After the abandonment, BNSF argued, we don't need the middle section because we can get to Boardman via the western segment, via the west end. Well, the problem with that is BNSF permitted two large signal masts to be erected right in the middle of the train tracks. There's a picture of that in the record. I believe that's on page 101, A101. You can't get a train past those two steel posts. They took the diamond out. All the at-grade signaling equipment on the western segment, they removed every bit of it.
Why isn't Boardman objecting? Why isn't Boardman objecting?
Boardman did. They filed a verified statement, and they objected to the fact that their rail service previously had been horrific. They used to use rail service, but once BNSF and the AT&SF merged, rail service became terrible, so they just gave up. And
I thought the railroad said they would make service available, and Boardman was satisfied and didn't pursue its objection after that.
They didn't pursue it. They don't believe it. They're pretty jaundiced. So are petitioners. BNSF said they would make it available. The
is
board
there evidence in the record that Boardman is pretty jaundiced? I don't remember seeing that.
If you read their verified statement, it indicates that they're terribly upset with the rail service that BNSF offered them.
What about this to whom it may concern letter dated November 6, 2008?
Is that the one written by Mr. Hageman?
That's right.
BNSF called him. BNSF said, what's your feelings? And Mr. Hageman's feeling was, so long as we can get rail service, we're not going to object. BNSF said, well, if you ever want it, we'll provide it to you. Well, the problem with that is the petitioners consigned a rail car to Boardman Spur. We wanted to see, would BNSF, in fact, do what they said they were going to do?
I thought that was a locomotive.
It's a locomotive with a rail car on it. That's a rail car with a locomotive on it, and that's the subject of the next case. Locomotive never showed up. 2.5 years later, those steel posts are still in place.
Did Boardman object to not getting the locomotive?
It wasn't for them. The locomotive is actually mine. I leased it to Mr. Kessler. Boardman gave us permission to use their spur.
So this was a test. This was nothing that Boardman wanted.
Boardman didn't want it, but had it showed up and had we began to provide Boardman with some service, we would have used it for that purpose. We were somewhat hopeful that the OFA process would go through and we would be permitted to operate on this line. And that was the second reason why we wanted this locomotive there. As I told you earlier, we have an interest in a transload facility, and for that you need a locomotive to move the rail cars around. So while we were testing them, we also actually wanted the locomotive there. We had a use for it. It could be used inside Boardman's plant to move rail cars if we ever get rail service, which we don't expect will ever happen. This case is very similar to the case this court heard in 2004, the New York Cross Harbor case. That's at 374 Fed 3rd, 1177. In that case, this court reversed the board because the board failed to consider and balance the interest of the public, of the shippers,
Well, how can you say that didn't happen here?
The board didn't balance the concern of the shippers. They totally ignored petitioners' requests for rail service. The board doesn't even mention the fact that the petitioners personally want rail service and personally ask for rail service and personally consigned a rail car to their property, well, the property next door. The board totally glossed over that. They don't even mention it. The board's focus is only on boardmen. But petitioners want rail service. That's why petitioner wants to acquire the line so that they can make sure they have rail service to their property for their rail needs.
When was the first time that the petitioner indicated a desire for rail service?
The first time that we formally requested rail service would have been about July 17th, 2008.
This was after notice of abandonment and everything?
No abandonment hadn't been granted at that point in time. But, abandonment didn't occur until a year later.
But until these proceedings began, you never indicated any interest in rail service. Is that right?
I would say the first time that petitioners indicated they have a personal desire for rail service was probably about July 17th. When petitioners asked BNSF to ship the locomotive to their property.
That was part of the test.
That was a part of our test and a part of our desire to get a locomotive there. The locomotive was in Arkansas. We had two choices. It was either going to Vicksburg, Mississippi, or it was coming to Oklahoma City.
It's correct that when the agency says there's been no local traffic on the middle segment in the last 10 years.
That's a truthful statement, so long as you only look at the middle segment. What?
You say that the board disregarded your own desire for shipping, but the board mentioned your effort to ship the locomotive, didn't they? And then sort of discounted on the ground that it wasn't
totally
a legitimate shipping. You were in shipping need. It was a test.
That's exactly what they did.
So they didn't ignore you. That's how they dealt with it.
They just gave it no weight.
Correct. Right. They gave it no weight for the reason just stated. And what was wrong with that reasoning? What was wrong with their reasoning
there? BNSF had an obligation, if it chose not to ship this rail car to the Boardman Spur, it should have made that known before it took possession of it under the common law of common carriers.
That may reflect poorly on BNSF, if you're correct, but what does that mean the board should have taken account of your attempt to test them?
The board has an obligation to compel a rail carrier to comply with its common carrier obligations. BNSF has an absolute common carrier obligation to transport this locomotive to the Boardman Spur, and they didn't do that. And it's an absolute obligation unless BNSF can offer as a defense an act of God, public authority, public insurrection, or nature of the goods, meaning sort of like tomatoes.
They did give some reason for not delivering the locomotive.
Beg your pardon?
They gave some reason for not delivering the locomotive, didn't they? BNSF?
Actually, they gave no reason other than they couldn't get it there. And that's true. They couldn't get it there because they removed the rails.
Well, didn't they also say Boardman didn't want it?
No. They asked Boardman. Actually, the first phone call that they made to Boardman, they spoke with Joe Murray, general manager. And in that conversation, they asked, where do you want the locomotive? And Mr. Murray replied, right here at Boardman's. Sometime later, they spoke with Mr. Hageman, which had had no involvement in what was going on. Our involvement with Boardman was primarily with Joe Murray. He's the general manager. He's the one that actually runs the plant. He's the one that actually once wanted rail service. He's the one that wrote the verified statement. Mr. Hageman, he's the chief financial officer. He doesn't deal with the day-to-day plant operations. That's what Mr. Murray does. So Mr. Murray was intimately familiar with what was going on. Mr. Murray is the first one that said, I want the locomotive. I want it right here on my property. Sometime later, Susan Odom from BNSF called, spoke with Mr. Hageman, and asked, do you want a locomotive? And he said, no. And that's a truthful statement. Boardman didn't want a locomotive. It's not theirs. Kessler wanted a locomotive on his property, and he wanted it delivered to the Boardman spur so that he could pick it up and get it over to his property, which is literally the next property over. It's across the fence. As I said, I believe the Cross Harbor case is very apropos in this case. This court held that the board is required to balance the various interests. The board totally failed to consider the community's interest. The board improperly, as this quote stated, elevated to premier status the interest of ODOT. What bothers petitioners more than anything is the fact that rail service and this freeway are not incompatible. The times when the board has exempted abandonments from the OFA procedures, it's generally been for a large public project, and the public project and the rail, they were just totally incompatible. You couldn't have both.
Well, you may have asked the board to second-guess the State Department of Transportation, but I'm not sure you did. I guess you did, but I don't think you're going to get us to do that.
I agree with that. I'm just saying that they raised to premier status the interest of ODOT. It is something that the board may consider, but in this case, the board only considered that, and the board took a very myopic view by saying the Middlesex, nobody has shipped any local traffic over the Middlesex section in the last 2 years, and that's actually not a truthful statement. In the record, in the abandonment.
But you agreed a minute ago, I asked you that, actually it was the last 10 years. You said it was right, but that that's only if you consider the middle section alone.
In the record are photographs.
I need to scratch out what you said.
I do need to scratch that out, because while the board said there was no, has been no local traffic in 10 years, I don't agree with that statement. I would agree with it in the sense that there is no shipper adjacent to the Middlesex segment which is requested rail service. It's where they draw the lines. On the eastern segment, there are two shippers who have rail service, continue to have rail service, I believe, and in providing that rail service, BNSF, on a several times per week basis, use the middle segment to put their cars. In addition...
You mean as storage, temporary storage?
It's how do you get cars into a facility if you only have one track? If you have, you show up at a facility with a string of cars.
Right, but that wasn't rail service is what I'm getting at, was it?
What they do is they take the cars that they have and they have to put them someplace. And so they put them on the middle segment because that's the only place they had to put them. Sorry. So it put them there momentarily. Then they would take their locomotive, go inside the plant, pull the empty cars out, hook up to the full cars, and then take the full cars in and leave them. So that's the extent. Well, it turns out that was sufficient for the board to say that you lied to us, and the board voided their abandonment petition ab initio, because BNSF, with its own data, established that it was using the middle segment and the western segment for local purposes. In addition, the middle segment, this entire line was used twice a day by the Stillwater Railroad to operate overhead traffic. Stillwater has a rail yard in eastern Oklahoma, just across the river from where this abandonment is.
What's overhead traffic? It's mentioned in the brief, too. It sounds kind of funny for a layman.
It's no okay.
Train running overhead.
Local traffic means it goes to somebody right there. Overhead traffic means it's coming from someplace, some ways away, and going someplace else, and all we're doing is driving by your house. It's kind of like on a freeway. If you live adjacent to a freeway, lots of trucks go up and down the freeway, and that would be overhead traffic because it's going from Baltimore to New York or New York to wherever. So in this case, the Stillwater Railroad assembled a train in this yard that's literally half a mile east of where this abandonment is. And the train, they have one train per day that goes to Lawton, Oklahoma. And once they assembled their train, they went down this line of railroad, the Chickasha line, and went to Lawton. And once a day, they came back from Lawton with another train. For Stillwater, this was very convenient. They could leave their yard, and 5 minutes later, they were on the west side of Oklahoma, putting down the tracks about 40 miles an hour. And
they participate in this proceeding?
I beg your pardon?
Did they participate in this proceeding?
They have not. They will not. Stillwater leases these tracks from BNSF. And actually, Stillwater actually wasn't doing something it had the lawful authority to do.
Well, they didn't participate. They didn't raise the objection.
They didn't raise the objection.
So let's move on.
And there's several reasons why.
It doesn't matter. The objection isn't in this proceeding.
I would agree with that.
But to go back, and then you're way over time. We've got to put this to a stop. But I want to clarify one thing. The board's decision your attempt to ship to Boardman, to ship the locomotive and car to Boardman, was not legitimate, as it were, comes in the other proceeding, I believe, so that it's not really even mentioned in the current proceeding. Is that correct?
They keep saying it's a ruse. It's not a ruse.
Well, they keep saying it where? In describing your position, the positions of the parties in this proceeding, I don't see any mention of that.
Are you asking, did I explicitly deny that it was a test?
No.
Is that your question?
No, I'm asking whether, I think you were right earlier when you said that they did not, in this case, treat you in any way as a potential shipper.
That's true.
And that is because all discussion of the legitimacy of the test and so on was in the other proceeding. Is that correct?
That's actually pretty much true.
Okay, good. Thank you. Any further questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Riffin. We'll
hear thank from you, Your Honors.
May it please the Court, my name is Eric Light. I'm here on behalf of the Surface Transportation Board in the United States. I'd like to address the issue of the OFA exemption. The board reasonably determined that the middle segment was not needed for continued rail service, and therefore the OFA exemption was appropriate. Petitioners do not dispute the first element of the OFA test, which is that the right-of-way is needed for a valid public purpose. That is clearly true here. The old highway was in extremely poor shape. It was in constant need of repair. It was poorly designed. And it was over capacity. In 1965, that highway...
We're not going to deal with the state's reasoning here. I can't imagine why we would.
Okay, let me address the second component of the OFA test, which is whether or not there's an overriding public need for rail service on the middle segment. The fact is, it is undisputed that there are no shippers located on the middle segment. There hasn't been any local traffic on the middle segment in 10 years. Stillwater's traffic, as Mr. Riffin says, was overhead traffic. As for overhead traffic, at the time the board made its decision, BN had rerouted all the overhead traffic on the middle segment over the recently refurbished Packingtown lead. In fact, BN did that even before it filed its petition for declaratory order. What this means is that by the time the board made its decision in this case, there was literally no traffic moving over the middle segment. What about the western segment? Well, the board's decision in this case did not relieve BN of its common carrier obligation to serve anyone on the western segment, whether it be Boardman or the petitioners. BN acknowledges that it has a common carrier obligation to serve the western segment upon reasonable request. Indeed, in this case, when the board issued its Federal Register notice and asked the parties and the public at large to comment on how BN's plan would affect shippers generally and Boardman in particular, Boardman responded by saying that it did not believe that it would be affected by the loss of rail service on the middle segment.
What about Mr. Griffin's contention that there was a structure built in the middle of the rails?
There was a structure built, Your Honor, but BN said in response to the Federal Register notice that if Boardman was interested in interested in rail service.
That was built on the western segment?
Yes, it was on the western portion of the western segment. BN said it would fix the tracks and provide service to Boardman. 2 weeks later, Boardman filed its own statement in response to the Federal Register notice. And in that statement, that's where Boardman said, we do not believe we will be affected by the loss of the western segment. Now, granted, Boardman went on and said, that's with the understanding that rail service will continue to be available from the west.
This is the to whom it may concern language.
Yes. Now, if Boardman had a problem with BN's assurance that it would fix the tracks and provide service to Boardman, that was the time to say something. It didn't. Given that Boardman apparently accepted BN's assurance that it would fix the tracks and provide service, it was entirely reasonable for the board to accept BN's assurance. Now, as for the locomotive incident, the fact is that there is no finding in this case that BN failed to comply with its common carrier obligation.
All right, that's the second case.
Well,
putting them together.
Well, Mr.
Are you responding to petitioner's argument that the board failed to consider its request so that it could provide service?
Right. I mean, the petitioners, I understand it, an oral argument here, were saying that they have an interest in rail service themselves and that the board failed to take into account that. Well, first of all, the board did discuss the locomotive incident in its decision of October, I believe, 2008.
Is that part of this proceeding?
Yes, it is. It's where it instituted the declaratory order proceeding. It recounted the allegations by Mr. Kessler that he had tried to ship this locomotive to Boardman as a test and that it was not delivered.
Is that the only reference to petitioner's request for service?
In this proceeding?
Yes.
I believe so, Your Honor. And
does the record reflect that that's the only request petitioners made?
As far as I know, that is the only request they made. And what happened in that case, the board said, well, we're not going to deal with this request for service in this case because, first of all, there's no evidence presented. Second of all, Boardman's not here complaining about the lack of rail service. If any party feels aggrieved that they're not getting service, the way to go about dealing with that is to file a complaint with the board. And Mr. Kessler did not do that. He waited 4 months. This is getting into the other case.
So you're saying neither Boardman nor Kessler as a shipper filed a complaint?
Well, my point is, Your Honor, if they are a shipper, if they want service, they have to make a reasonable request for service. And second, if they believe that BN has not satisfied its common carrier obligation, the way to address that is to bring a service complaint before the board, which Kessler has never done. So the board has never resolved definitively whether or not BN has satisfied its common carrier obligation. BN says it did try to deliver the locomotive via transload, that is, by trucking the locomotive the last few miles, and that Boardman declined the offer. Petitioners dispute this. But the point is the board did not resolve the matter, and therefore there's no basis to say that rail service to the petitioners is unavailable. As I said, given the fact that Boardman has accepted apparently BN's assurance that it will fix the tracks to provide service, it was entirely reasonable for the board to do so as well. Unless the court has any other questions, we ask that the court deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Mr. Riffin, you've used all your time. We'll give you 1 minute, but really just 1 minute, unless there are further questions from the court.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Mr. Light says the board. Mr. Light emphasized that what the procedure is, file a complaint. What he doesn't tell the court is if you want to file a complaint, the filing fee is $21,100 the last time I looked. It's not cheap. Boardman, in their verified statement, made it very clear, Mr. Mary, if need be, he would consign a car to Boardman to find out, would BNSF actually provide rail service? Rather than have Boardman do that, we did it for him, because we didn't think BNSF would actually do it. With regard to the transload comment, BNSF never offered to transload. BNSF always said, you have to consign this rail car someplace else. We're not taking it there. And they also never offered to pay the very considerable cost of transloading this locomotive, if that happened to be what they ultimately decided to do.
Thank you, Mr. Riffin. Questions?
One quick question. Is there any argument that you wanted the board to consider that you were unable to make after the board gave notice that service might change?
I believe I made every effort to make every argument I could, so I did argue it. The board just gave no weight to any of the arguments.
Thank you.
The board had its own agenda, which was grant the abandonment, build the freeway. We're not going to let you do something that's going to upset what we want to have happen.
Mr. Riffin, hold on.